We're taking conservatives to work and liberal progressive Democrats to task for their dysfunctional politics so that we can make Washington livable again. Going to be interviewing a guest here in just a moment, president of the UFCW Local 3000 labor union. This is the grocery store workers union that's really going to be impacted pretty deeply by these six store closures amongst Kroger stores in Western Washington. And I've been talking about the one in South Tacoma first here a couple of weeks ago. That's a separate union, just so that as we get into this conversation, everyone understands the union representing that particular Tacoma store. Pacific Avenue in South Tacoma is different than some of the ones that have been announced here this week between Kent, Lake City, Redmond, Everett, and then the QFC store in Mill Creek is one of the other ones that's involved in these recent string of closures that have been announced by Kroger. So let me welcome in the UFCW Local 3000 president, Faye Gunther. Faye, thank you for coming down to the station. Thanks for coming in to talk.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, this is a story that everyone's concerned about because of the price of groceries is a constant concern for everybody. And now we've got these store closures. Does some of this revolve around the proposed merger that Kroger was trying to accomplish with Albertson Safeway a little over a year ago that finally got scuttled? Does that connect to any of this, or is this separate and distinct?
So maybe a little context. I think during the merger process, both Albertsons and Kroger paused store closures. And I think they probably did that because they didn't want CVS or their competitors to know which stores they considered like their dog stores.
Okay.
And so for a two-year period of time, which now October is about the two-year mark when they announced that they were going to try to merge.
Okay.
Now you're seeing some store closures. Store closures and store remodeling is sort of a normal, there's some, you know, amount that's somewhat normal. So for 2 years, they haven't really had any store closures. And in June, in their earnings call, they announced that they were going to close 60 stores nationwide.
Right.
And so, you know, there's
this
35.
This goes back a month or two?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Yeah. So we were expecting some store closures. I would say, though, having four Fred Meyer stores close all at once is, it really impacts working class communities. It really impacts people are trying to get ready to go back to school. They want to go to Fred Meyer's, get some of their school supplies, get their food.
And for the closures, we're kind of talking about the tail end of September, beginning of October.
Yep.
Is that more or less it?
I think it's October 17th and
18th. I've heard some vague dates, but not specific dates. Go ahead and pull that microphone up a little bit closer to yourself here. For the stores that are going to impact UFCW, Local 3000 members, these are the ones between Kent, Lake City, Redmond, part of the QFC, say you have some union members at, and then the Everett store. So when these end up closing down, I think that there are some requirements that the Kroger ends up having to offer your union workers a chance to work at some of the other stores. I'm just kind of looking at this from the wide view. It seems to me like that means that they're not going to have spots for every single UFCW worker to get enough hours at another store. I mean, just kind of statistically, it doesn't seem to pencil out. Is that a concern, or is that an accurate way to look at this?
I mean, it is a concern. We're going to be pushing hard that every worker gets the job that they deserve and to keep their hours. The one thing that happens is when a store closes down, customers move to other stores. And so you see a surge in customers moving to other stores. We are going to be demanding that people's hours are protected and that people's jobs are protected. We have a union contract. This is one of the benefits of having a union during a tumultuous time. And so we're going to be pushing very hard. We're meeting with the company on Friday, and we're going to be demanding that these workers be placed and serve customers. Customers, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you're a customer in those stores, you know those lines are too long. There's not enough people in there serving you. All of those sorts of things. Those workers going into those stores, maybe it'll be a more pleasant experience for the shopper in there. Maybe you can actually go to the check stand and get checked out in a timely manner. So this is something like we've been pushing the company pretty hard. We know that if they staff up those stores in a better way, it makes customers happier. My Burien Fred Meyer that I shop in, shouting out my Burien checker, Cheryl, you go in there. I used to love shopping in that store. Now you go in there and they have a store within a store. So you have a shopping cart. You go in and you have to buy some products inside this store. There's not enough staff. The lines are all the way back through up to the freezers. I mean, it's just, customers don't like that, and if stuff's locked up, they just go on Amazon and buy it. So, like, we have to have a conversation about Kroger getting back into the business of selling groceries and not into the business of gathering all of our data and all of the other weird stuff that they're doing.
The data?
Yeah, there's massive. We should talk about this at a longer period of time. They're gathering all kinds of information on their customers, which is super creepy. And they're talking about pricing, personalized pricing. So if you walk past with your cell phone, they could say, oh, you really like these carrots.
You tend to grab this product,
yes,
for instance.
Yes, yes. And then they'll price it for you and have a personalized pricing. We're very worried about that because it could result in surge pricing.
Okay.
So like snowstorm hits. Everybody wants to go get some beer or toilet paper, whatever you want when you're...
Sterno logs go up when there's higher demand in winter. For a fireplace or something like that.
And so they can surge price, and we do not like that, and we think consumers probably don't like it either.
My producer, Zach, did you have something?
Yeah, I've experienced that. It's really freaky.
I saw
because,
his eyes bright. Like,
we buy lettuce a lot, and we keep getting served with our lettuce prices like half price all the time because we keep getting served with the same coupon for 90-cent lettuce at Kroger stores.
Yeah, I know I end up getting these little coupon packs from the grocery store. And it seems to be predicated on stuff that I've bought before.
Yep. And it's pretty creepy and it's pretty weird. What Kroger is
doing. But it also gives me a coupon for something that I tend to use a lot.
Yeah.
If I don't want to buy it, I don't have to.
Yeah. So, I mean, some of it probably is good because you are getting a coupon. But I think the surge pricing and the personalized pricing and like installing price tags that change.
Right.
Like, I think all of those things are things consumers need to
watch. All right.
Well,
let's get back to what's going on with the store closures and some of what Kroger has talked about. It seems to be a combination of things. They're talking about the problems associated with crime, shoplifting, and having to staff security now at stores, putting in a lot of these other security measures like railings so that you can't immediately sprint out of the store. You got to go in one thing that doesn't let you go out to get access to exit the store until you go through more of the check stand area. We've got all these sorts of plexiglass doors that are kind of keeping more valuable things locked up, and then you got to get a clerk to come over and help you unlock that so that you can grab. Why did all these things happen?
So let's talk, just go back a little bit in time. I don't know if you all remember when liquor got privatized and there was a huge fight.
It's true.
Kroger,
they had to kind of set up special sections so that you couldn't just wander in and grab something and bolt.
Yep. Kroger, Albertsons, and Safeway at the time spent more money on that initiative and Costco than any any other initiative.
The vote to get it passed.
To vote to get it passed. That, and we were very worried about liquor going into all those stores. It allows youth to get in, to go in and get access to alcohol, that stuff. So that was the beginning of sort of locking everything up. And did it lower our liquor prices? I don't think so.
Well, there's some taxes that go along with that as well. But we'll set that aside for now. But you're right. So, they do have to come up with whatever their security measures are going to be.
I will say that during COVID, when everything closed down, the grocery store, our workers were facing, the grocery store was the only place people could go in and wash their hands. People could go in and use the bathroom. Mm. Our workers became the front line of the crisis that we're facing.
Right.
And
they got some extra pay out of it, at least in Seattle. I know they did.
Well, there was hero pay. It was given for a very short period of time, and it was taken away. It was $2 an hour, and that was given and taken away. Anyway, our grocery members didn't go to work to become first-line mental health workers, first-line dealing with all of the issues that we are all dealing with. So I think there was definitely an increased amount of crime.
A lot of what I was just explaining is kind of related to some of the repeat crime problems that King County has had a difficult time getting their arms around. Snohomish County's got their own situation as well.
The Everett police are saying the
and
the
I understand
crimes,
that there's a lot of information that, hey, the crime stats are going down. Yep. Even if they're going down, though, how much loss, inventory loss should a store have to withstand and keep going? I mean, even if the stats come down, how much should they be forced to endure?
Significantly. And I would say they paid their CEO $15 million, who we don't know why he left. What kind of crimes did he commit? So if we're going to talk
this
about
an outgoing one because they have an interim one now?
Yes. And I would also say, they paid $7.5 billion, and it's hard for I was going to try to think of a way to think about $7.5 billion for the radio station that could have opened up 280 stores. If you calculate a store opening at about $25 million, which is what Kroger says it costs.
If the company just decides we're going to spend money opening all these stores, that's going to affect the value of their stock, and they do want people to be buying their stock. If it's the institutional investors that are doing the 401k pension related stuff, they do want to try and make the company's stock worth buying. And if they're doing what you're suggesting, like, hey, we've got X amount of billions of dollars, we could be opening all these stores and we could be hiring more people. There's got to be a balance in there. They can't
I agree with that. There should be a balance. And right now it's out of balance.
Yeah, spend that money.
I would say right now it is out of balance. When you pay your CEO $15.7 million, you spend $7.5 billion in stock buybacks. If you invest in stores, when you go to the grocery store, like I like going to the grocery store. I like going in and seeing everything and shopping, and I think a lot of people do.
Right. We're all dependent on it.
Yeah, everybody needs food to eat. So like if you go, if Safeway and Albertsons are competing against Kroger, this is one of the reasons we work to block the Kroger-Albertsons merger. You want, if you believe in capitalism, you want competition because they compete over coupons. They compete over making sure you have the products you like inside the store. So Kroger, if they want to be competitive, they need to be competing and making those stores nice, putting more staff in those stores.
And they're saying that bigger store chains like a Costco, potentially a Walmart, they're making it tough for them to compete based on the size that they are. You don't subscribe to that?
I don't see
that connection?
I think that the grocery store business is tough, so I'm not going to say that it's not. Yeah. But I'm going to think about my Berry and Fred Meyer, and anybody here can think about their own store that they go to. If there's enough people in line so you can get through the line quickly and you don't have to abandon your cart if you're in a hurry, if there's a checker, like a lot of people, there's a lot of isolation in our society right now. Sometimes the only people that people talk to on a regular basis is their checker or their meat cutter, especially elderly folks. Like you're going to that store for a whole experience, and these companies need to be investing in these stores so that people want to come back. And I'll say just one thing on the investing. They're doing a big investment on e-commerce, the click list, all that stuff.
Yeah, where you go and you pick up your groceries sort of thing.
Yes, it is not making money. So they're diverting money into e-commerce, which is not making the company money, instead of diverting it into who wants their checker and their coffee person, or who wants somebody pushing around a ginormous cart. Like, the experience in the grocery store has changed, and that is because Kroger is making bad decisions.
Yeah, and I mean, we've got other companies that kind of offer this. Essentially, it's the Uber Lyft version of Instacart or something like that. I'm trying to remember if Instacart
is
just the only one, but other companies are kind of offering this service as well, where you do it all on the app, and you go pick up my spaghetti supplies so I can make spaghetti for dinner. And then you bring it to me, and I don't ever actually have to go to the grocery store. In the press release that UFCW Local 3000 ended up issuing about some of these more recently announced Fred Meyer Kroger store closures, you cited housing affordability crisis for the union workers. Who did the UFCW Local 3000 endorse for governor of the state of Washington last fall in the election?
We endorsed Ferguson.
Ferguson, okay. Has Governor Ferguson made things more affordable to live here in the state of Washington relative to what's happened before his time as governor?
I would love to be invited back so we can have a
– I know.
Like, it'd be so fun. But can I just talk for a minute about our 12% of Kroger workers that we represent are unhoused. The housing crisis is so complex. I'm not sure either party has got great solutions on it. Housing is something we're going to make primary – like right now, like these four stores that are closing, a lot of elderly people live next to the stores. They can, if they are lucky enough to have bought at some point when you could have afforded a house here, them having to move or whatever, like
or go farther to get to a grocery store.
And I would say like housing, crime, drug use and overuse, all of these issues that are impacting our society, like I don't know that either party has excellent solutions. And so like, you know, we are digging in on housing as a union because our members cannot afford to live next to where they work.
Yep.
And many people can't afford to live here anymore. Even like people are moving with families. You can't live in this community anymore. You're moving away.
Yeah.
And that
we've got a metropolitan market a couple of blocks away from here. The people who are working in that metropolitan market, I'm guessing few of them are living on Lower Queen Anne, right?
Yeah.
Right. And the reason I asked about that.
Yeah.
Is because we've got, you know, increases in minimum wage. And we're told, hey, you know, if we increase the minimum wage, that'll make it easier for people to afford to live closer to where they work, things like that. We've got all these other taxes that go up between the city of Seattle. It's more acute in the city of Seattle than it is maybe in other specific cities. But King County, you've got taxes that are going up. In the state of Washington, you've got taxes going up. And I asked that question about the endorsement because all these things start to add up. And the more money it takes to operate the cost of government is less money that the rest of us have to end up paying our rent, our mortgage, our utility bills, our grocery bills. and buying clothes and getting all of those necessities paid for. And so that's why I'm kind of wondering, is this law of diminishing returns that the UFCW Local 3000 is now starting to see, that Fred Meyer is saying, okay, Kroger more specifically, is closing down these six stores between Tacoma and Everett?
Yeah, I mean, they're closing down stores in Georgia where the minimum wage is $7.25. Yeah. So I don't think that – so first of all, Ferguson helped lead the battle to block the Kroger-Albertsons merger.
Sure.
That's one of the reasons we endorsed him. And I would fighting to block mergers is good no matter who you are. It's good for workers. It's good for consumers. So I think that was a good thing. On stores being closed down and Kroger making this decision, I think they put in their press release it was regulatory reasons. Well, mm-hmm. I'd like to know what
those are. That's kind of what they've said.
Because and I don't know if I can say BS, but BS.
Yeah, that's fine.
Because Georgia has a minimum wage of $7.25, heavily unregulated. Mm-hmm. So they're closing down there too. Okay. And in the four communities that they're closing down, like, I think people kind of like to rail on the minimum wage in Seattle. They're not impacted by the Seattle minimum wage. So these are not – what Kroger's actually doing, which I think is really rotten, mm-hmm. is three of the four of these stores are in lower-income communities, working-class communities. They're pulling out of those working-class communities, and what they're going to do is try to build and move into wealthier communities.
Okay.
That is not okay, right? And so, like, to me, that is a real decision that is unacceptable. And also, like – how long do we want to put up to have a healthy community? You need a grocery store, a hospital, a school. Like, you need some basic things so that you love living in your community.
Right? Yeah.
Many of the decisions that are being made about our food, there's are like a four lines on a spreadsheet out of Cincinnati, right? They're making
That's
decisions
they're
out
in.
Of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're paying their CEO $15 million. They are taking $7.5 billion, sending it to their shareholders. Those are things that are more impactful than anything. Those are things that are not acceptable. And I think the state of Washington has to think about how much control do we want to have over the services that we need inside of our communities.
Yeah.
And on the tax thing, I mean, I'd have to get a little bit more prepped. I mean, I grew up in rural Eastern Oregon in a town of 150 people. I like it that the roads here, you know, I like paying taxes to make sure some of the stuff we need is
sure.
taken care of. But
right.
I'd love to have like a tax debate, and I'm not fully, you know, like
exactly.
I don't know all.
Like we could
taxes.
Spend all 3 hours of the morning show talking about probably just that.
I want to talk to anybody who loves food.
Yeah, and that's why I was hopeful that you'd be able to come in and talk and take time to speak about, because this whole Kroger grocery store closure thing with the six stores now in Western Washington is kind of foremost on a lot of people's minds here in Western Washington. I'm talking to the president of the UFCW Local 3000. This is the grocery store workers union that's going to be impacted by some of these Fred Meyer Kroger store closures from basically Kent, Seattle, Redmond, north up to Everett. And Faye Gunther is my guest here on The Morning Ride, and she's the lead for the labor union that has all these grocery store workers that are going to be impacted by some of these Kroger store closures. And Faye, thank you for coming in studio. Thank you for taking time to talk to me, and thank you for sticking around to talk a little bit longer. There's a lot of economics and other business decisions that are going into some of this stuff, and some of it rolls over into politics, as we've touched on so far. But one of the things you mentioned in the last segment was that four of these closed stores are in zip codes with lower than median income, and that would be the Lake City store. And I live really close to the Lake City store. I'm kind of by Nathan Hale High School. So I go to the Fred Meyer there in Lake City probably once a week, maybe once every 10 days. I go to another nearby grocery store as well, but that's one that I end up at a lot. So the concern is that Kroger's closing down these stores in these, if you want to call them lower income or less than the median income zip codes. And that concern seems to be that they're not going to be profitable enough. And that's why Fred Meyer / Kroger is closing them. Is that sort of how you're seeing this?
So, again, in June, they announced that 60 stores were going to be closed across the whole country. They have stores in 35 states. They have about 2,700 stores. So 60 stores across the whole country, probably a hold up from the 2 years that they didn't close or remodel or change stores. So that's the first thing. And it was three out of the four are in working. I think of it as working class communities because none of us can afford to live.
Yeah, Kent is.
Yeah.
Everett
Kent.
Is this Casino Road Everett location for Fred Meyer.
Yep. Yeah. And I think that their intention, you know, Redmond is not in a lower income zip code, but their intention is to close these stores, move them into reopen these Fred Meyer stores in places that are higher income.
Okay.
That is concerning to me because everybody deserves to have access to food.
Yeah.
We talk about affordability crisis, like a housing affordability crisis, increased cost of groceries. And when you move a store out of a community, it can create food deserts. It can make it so you're only, I don't know, was grocery outlet maybe that's there by that Lake City?
Yeah, Fred Meyer. That's one of them.
Yeah, and like limiting people's access to food is not good for families. It's not good for any of us.
Yeah, it's got to be something to consider. So did you look at the map of the Redmond, the Lake City, the Kent, the Everett, the South Tacoma store? I know that isn't your union that's represented there, or the Mill Creek stores? Because I looked at the map. At the Redmond store, there's a Safeway that's very nearby. I think there's a Costco, but I wouldn't really put Costco in the same category because you got to be a member at Costco. But Lake City, there is that grocery outlet that's maybe a block and a half away. Kent, the Fred Meyer store there, there's a grocery outlet that's kitty corner in Everett. The Casino Road location, there's a Safeway that's about 9 blocks away. So that's getting a little farther away. And then South Tacoma, the Pacific Avenue store there, there's a Safeway at Portland Avenue. And then there's a Winco at I-5 on 72nd. And those are both about 10 to 15 blocks away. So the idea of this food desert, most of these locations, there's somewhere else people can go that's in pretty close proximity. It's not perfect when you start to scope it out for Everett and South Tacoma, but they're not far away. I mean, people would be able to navigate probably. If they can navigate to that store, they can probably navigate 10 to 15 blocks more to get to either one of those options that I mentioned in South Tacoma. So there do seem to be other options. Why is the food desert phrase getting used?
Yeah, I would say like Lake City, for example. When you're in a grocery outlet, carries a certain set of products. Mm-hmm. If you're a mom.
Yeah, they're not going to have a pharmacy, for
right,
instance.
Right. If you're a mom and you're trying to get diapers, mm-hmm. Food, and maybe pick up your pharmacy stuff.
The pharmacy would be a dilemma.
Yeah, the pharmacy is a dilemma, and it's also the product lines that are carried. Again, you mentioned Costco. Costco's out because you have to pay much money to get a card, yeah, exactly. And you have to go buy 70 pounds of hamburger. You can't buy an amount that would feed your family for a week. So, and yes, people could go 10 more blocks. I understand that. But what happens, especially around the Fred Meyers, and I'll talk about my Burien Fred Meyer again, mm-hmm. A lot of times elderly communities, like even elderly housing, is built next to these facilities so that people can have some independence in their life and walk to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. So I have a friend who lives next to the Kent grocery store whose husband died. They sold their house. She moved into a 55-plus community that was right next to the Fred Meyer. Those folks cannot just move. I mean, I guess they can, but she's 92, 93. She walks over there. It gives her her own life. Like, these decisions impact our communities and make it harder for working class people to get what they need. And if you're driving all over the place, okay, you drive to Safeway. I love Safeway, shop at Safeway, mm-hmm. you know, great, great. But when you're going to Fred Meyer's, you're going to get your kids' school supplies. You're going, there's a product line there that makes it easier for working class people.
They don't have those at QFC stores, and QFC is one of the stores that's being closed down too.
Yep.
So in this mix. All right. The UFCW Local 3000 has union workers at some of these stores between Kent, Lake City, Redmond, and Everett. Not necessarily the Tacoma store. The Tacoma Fred Meyer Pacific Avenue store is a different union that has workers represented at that store. Let me play just a very short clip. We'll turn off all our microphones so you can hear the Everett mayor, Cassie Franklin, and kind of her reaction to the store closure in Everett. But this is what she told Fox 13 yesterday.
I think they're closing it down because they want to be in locations where they make more money.
The idea that Fred Meyer stores are closing on behalf of Kroger, that they'll be able to make more money if they move to other locations. And this is something you and I were talking about here during the break. Should a business be forced to have one of its stores, if it has multiple stores as an example, should that business be forced to stay open and lose money? How would that work?
So just to be direct, no, there's no sense in something staying open if it doesn't make money. But let's be clear, Kroger made $2.7 billion in profit last year. They paid $7.5 billion out in stock buybacks. Their CEO made $15 million. This company is very profitable. It profited off of our communities during COVID. It sucked massive amounts of money out of our communities, sent it back to Cincinnati. This is a profitable company. If a store, it is common for stores to close down on occasion. They have not been closing stores for about 2 years because of the Kroger-Albertsons merger. It is expected that some stores would have closed during that period of time. The company obviously has the right to close a store if it's not profitable. we are not allowed to see the store-by-store data. I would contest. Show me the money. Show me that those stores were not profitable. I believe that they're shutting those stores, three or four, in lower in what I say working-class neighborhoods, because working-class people are struggling. They're having to work one, two, three jobs. Like, these are working-class neighborhoods. These stores were just fine. They should have been, if there were any problems, the best way for a store to compete against another store, like Safeway or whomever they want to compete against, mm-hmm. is by investing in the stores, making them look nice, making sure there's enough staff so you can go in and get checked out. So they, what Kroger has been doing is putting a lot of money in e-commerce, which is losing them money. It's losing them money. So they're making choices to lose money, and they're making choices to focus in on gathering data on us and becoming a data gatherer rather than a grocery store. Go back to being a grocery store.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon lost a lot of money for a while, and then it finally started to change over when they got market share and all that jazz. Is that a function of what's going on with the e-commerce thing that they're trying? Is because it's in its infancy and they're trying to figure out how to make it work, do you think? Or,
well, Amazon has 80,000 workers in the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. Amazon's huge. They can lose money for a very, very long time.
Well, but I'm Kroger, just saying at the inception of it.
I would say that Kroger is probably trying to chase some of that. So are other companies. The U-Scan machines, for example. They all chase each other down the drain.
These are the self-checkout
lines?
Yes.
Lots of companies make poor choices that then hurt their bottom line. And then communities get impacted. Shoppers get impacted. Consumers get impacted. Workers get impacted. I would say that right now Kroger needs to decide what kind of company it's going to be. Is it a grocery store company or is it a data gathering company?
Yeah. For the next question, you'd mentioned about the proposed merger that never went through. Was that one of the reasons to be against it? Because if Kroger was able to gobble up Albertson's Safeway stores, that they would have ended up closing some of them by virtue of how many they contracted, and then they would have ended up closing some of those stores one way or the other?
So,
is that one of the reasons to oppose the merger?
So if y'all remember Hagen, and the, mm-hmm. when Albertsons and Safeway, and that happened, and there was divestitures to the Hagen company, and they went bankrupt. That's very concerning. When Albertsons and Kroger can outcompete, send coupons, do all of this stuff, we were very worried about a repeat of Hagen 2.0. The other thing that happens is, for consumers and for workers, if Kroger and Albertsons would have merged, they would have become one company in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens is they're like, oh, they can't do it for a little bit because of whatever agreement they strike. They start shutting down the store right next door.
Yeah.
And they also stop competing against each other. Right now, an Albertsons and a Safeway and a QFC and a Fred Meyer are competing for our business. They're competing. They're trying to make sure that they have products that we want. They have coupons that we might want to use. That is good for consumers. Capitalism works best when there's lots of competition.
Mm-hmm.
When you start getting mass consolidation, which is happening in the grocery store industry, you used to have, even here, when I got back in 2008, there was four. There was Albertsons, Safeway, QFC, Fred Meyer. Mm-hmm. Kroger bought QFC and Fred Meyer.
Separate.
Albertsons bought Safeway. Now we have two. We have two major competitors.
We've got Whole Foods now. We've got Metropolitan Markets, more of an independent. And then
Whole Foods has 10 stores.
Add in Walmart, although Walmart's really not represented in Seattle per se, but they are represented in some of the other outlying areas of the greater Seattle, Puget Sound area. So I guess what I'm hearing a little bit, if I understand this correctly, is that the concern was that if Albertsons, Kroger ended up merging, you'd end up having stores shut down. And here we are, they didn't merge. And now some stores are getting shut down anyways. So,
I think four stores compared to 116 or 120. Like, we're talking about a massive disruption to the grocery industry. Now, I do not like that these six stores are closing down. I think it's not good for workers. I think it's not good for consumers. I think it's not good for the state of Washington. And we're going to do everything UFCW 3000 can do. We helped block the Kroger-Albertsons merger.
Yeah.
And now we're going to be demanding that Kroger, if they're going to be taking all the money out of our communities and sending it back to Cincinnati, that they do not close any more stores down, that the stores that they are closing down, those workers get the jobs, keep their jobs, keep their hours, and that they don't price gouge us and do other stuff. I mean, Kroger just got in trouble. You can look at the consumer reports because they were not having the price tags right.
Tag
stuff.
From the shelf?
Price tag integrity. You know why? Because they didn't have enough staff in there making sure the tags were changed.
Right.
So invest in your stores. Invest in our grocery stores. It's different than all of us need food to eat. All of us need to go to a hospital when we're sick, right? There's four things inside of a community that we have to have access to have a good community. So Kroger needs to be responsible. They're making plenty of money. If they show me tomorrow, I'm meeting with them this week. If they show me that those stores are losing money, okay, I understand that. But if not, they don't want us to see it because that's not true. And it's not true what they're saying about the crime rate being the cause. And it's not true that what they're saying about regulation. They're shutting stores down in Georgia too. So they are not being honest with us. And this is our state. These are this. We need access to food. And it's not acceptable.
Yep. All right. Faye, thank you very much for coming in to talk to me about this. And I will keep my ear to the ground about what happens. Do you think we're going to end up with other stores announced as being closed in the not too distant future? Or do you think this is it for at least the time being?
Well, June was the earnings. The 60 stores were going to close. September, October, there'll be a new meeting with the company. We'll see if they say anything else. But right now, the indication is 60 stores. Our expectation is no more stores close. But it's going to be like anything, a battle.
All right. UFCW Local 3000 President Faye Gunther joining me here in studio on The Morning Ride. Thank you for all your extra time today. We wanted to have you come in and talk about this. And look, we've spent 45 minutes talking about it, and there's probably still more we could be discussing. Faye, good luck with you and your union representatives, okay?
Thank you. Thanks for having me.